Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to the Hagman Report. It is Tuesday, March 29th, 2022. I'm Doug Hagman, of course. HagmanReport.com, that's where to go for the programs, program descriptions. That's HagmanReport.com, two N's on Hagman. You know, there's so much going on out there. There's no shortage of news. There's no shortage of domestic, international threats that we're facing, threats from within, threats from without. We've got an invasion on the southern border. We've got, you name it. You know, you listen to the news, you watch. And of course, we've got our own government coming after us in certain respects. So I said all of that because, not because, well, you know where we're at, right? The hour is late. As an investigator, I like to tap into experts, the people that know what's going on, but even more importantly, know what we, you and I, what we need in the coming days, all right? That expert, and I use that term with all the legal connotations that it has. He would be like an expert witness in a court of law, in my view, okay? He's a guy that knows pretty much what's going on, pretty much what to do about it, where we should, you know, how we should prepare, and all of the things that could and most likely will go wrong to expect, and how to mitigate all of that. Bob Griswold, Ready Made Resources, he's a friend of mine, he's a friend of the program, and I hope he will become a friend of yours. Ready Made Resources is the place to go for all of your preparation needs, period, end of story, okay? I found myself last evening late going through all, I must have spent 2 hours on his website. Information that's there, as well as the products. Folks, if you need anything for preps, go to readymaderesources.com. This is not a commercial. This is my personal endorsement, all right, from night vision to body armor to food to whatever. He's got it. But I asked him to come on today, especially today, given the scenario, and basically lay out what, you know, my question to Bob Griswold is, you know, what are you looking at? What are we fixing on seeing in the near term? And what should we be doing about it right now? So with that, I want to welcome Bob Griswold. Bob, how are you, sir?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for having me here, Doug. And I am doing very well. We definitely live in what I think the Bible calls perilous times. I don't think you have to have a crystal ball or be a prognosticator of the future to understand that we have, it's a hydra that we're facing right now. Shortages all across the board. We're facing, you know, I call it the metaphoric get under the desk, because, you know, in the 60s, when you and I grew up, we were Cuban Missile Crisis. We'd have to do the practice under the desk drills. Well, today we have, we're have to practice a different type of under the desk drill. And that would be a metaphoric one, because we're faced with cyber attacks that could turn off our communication, that could turn off our electricity, turn off our water, interrupt the supply chain. We see them happening day in and day out on a minor case. But, you know, if Russia is pushed into a corner, I'm afraid that they won't resort to nuclear weapons. They would resort to cyber hacking us, turning us off. And I just wonder how well our cities would do if one of those basic services were turned off. You know, we need to learn how to get under the metaphoric desk and protect ourselves like we did in the 1960s. And there's certain things we can do to mitigate the threat that faces. I also, Doug, I just want to bring this up. Do you remember two things? There were 5,000 nuclear weapons in Ukraine a couple decades ago, in the mid-90s, they got rid of them all. I always wonder what happened to those 5,000 nuclear weapons. I think there were 3,000 tactical nuclear weapons and 2,000 ballistic missiles of high-yield ballistic missiles. Strategic nuclear weapons. You know, you wonder who got custody of those. Did we get some? Did the Chinese get some? Were some sold to the black market? I know the Russians supposedly claimed authority over them. But I wondered if one of those went off today, you know, whoever the player was that set it off in Ukraine, you know, Vladimir Putin would be blamed for it forever. Because the radioactive material left over would have a Russian signature to it. And, you know, we would use it to blame him forever. And the other thing, Doug, I just want to ask a question, and maybe you can answer this as an investigator. You know, there was always a splinter, as they say, in my brain over this $82 billion worth of weaponry that was left in Afghanistan 6 months ago, right on the Russian border. Afghan shares a border with Russia. Something said it is not an accident. They left that all there. You wonder if that was a prepositioning of weapons, whether we made deals with Al-Qaeda or ISIS, whoever, that they got to keep some of that weaponry, but we had all that. And you remember, it went off the Defense Department inventory list immediately when we left. So $82 billion of helicopters, jeeps, you know, like night vision, thermal, you know, indirect fire weapons, ammunition, just went dark 6 months ago on the Russian border. I'm just curious what your thoughts on that are.
Well, okay, a couple of things. Now, going back to what you mentioned about the nukes, for example, I want to address that briefly. I find it very interesting, if not telling, Bob, that the Luger initiative back in the, this was, I believe, back in the early 90s, mid-90s?
Yes, it was. Yes.
Okay, all right. So Luger and Barack Hussein Obama, an interesting pick, a junior senator from Illinois, being on the Luger committee to go out and to mitigate or to address the nuclear weapons and the drop-down of nuclear weapons. So you raise a good point, and I didn't really think about that in the context that you raised. So good point there. I don't know. But with respect to the military equipment, if we look at, in the same vein, if we look at this as an extension of Obama's fundamental change of things, yeah, you know what? I can see, for example, that equipment being used against friendlies or being used, period, in
A black army.
Thank you. Yes, yes. Because, you know, I don't know. Do you know who the good people versus the bad people are? I mean, you know, we're told Putin bad, Ukraine good. Everyone's flying Ukraine flags. But wait a second. There's a whole lot of stuff there that no one's talking about. I mean,
so. Yeah, well, Ukraine, according to Wikipedia, is the third most corrupt government on the planet.
Yes.
That's Wikipedia. They lead Europe in child sex trafficking, illegal organ harvesting, money laundering, which we know has been widely taken advantage of by politicians in the United States. Zelensky, you know, the reincarnation of St. Peter. Yeah. You know, or Churchill, whatever. It's funny. I just want to address the liberals hate Churchill. I mean, if you read him, they want to expunge him from everything. But that was the default guy they went to when they needed someone to create a hero-like image, Churchill. I mean, you know, Churchill had his problems, but, you know, they want to call him the new Churchill. I think more likely they think he's St. Peter reincarnated. But, you know, he just banned all political opposition. He just nationalized the news media. This is the guy we're supporting. I mean, you know, Burisma, all those names. It's just a horribly corrupt country. And so we have to think of what we're doing. And I always ask the question, what would we do if Russia put biolabs, I'm going to call them bioweapons labs because they're dealing with things that could be weaponized. I mean, they admitted anthrax and all other pathogens were there. They were supposedly, you know, making ways to defend against them. Yeah, right. Gain of function, in other words. And, you know, what would we do if the Russians put those labs 20 miles south of the Rio Grande? I know what we do. You know, in 1962, I remember my father leaving to go to, he would skip over destroyer at that time, and he was going down to Cuba because, you know, a Russian had put nuclear weapons in Cuba, and we brought the world to the brink of nuclear disaster. Well, you know, if in 2008, you know, we became signatories to something called the Bucharest Declaration. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not.
Yep.
Yeah, well, we promised that we would not absorb Eastern Bloc countries into NATO. Well, we started doing it almost immediately after that. Putin warned us at that time, right around 2008, that if we went into Georgia or Ukraine, it would be akin to a Cuban Missile Crisis. We knew it. Personally, I think we provoked it. for a reason. There could be so many financial reasons. It all boils down to money to begin with. You know, what goes on? The corruption of Washington is beyond understanding. I just watched an interview with my friend John Lovell from Warrior Poet Society and Representative Cawthorn, a new congressperson. He's been in Congress for about 2 years. And they were talking about what he has seen in Congress since he's been there. I recommend watching the video. You can just go to John Lovell and type in, you know, his interview with Representative Cawthorn. And he talked about he has seen senior level government officials doing cocaine, drug fueled orgies. Well, he has been asked to come to these drug fueled orgies. And it's all done for blackmail material, because this is what he said. The currency of Washington is secrets. You know, everybody has secrets on one another. We wonder why our new Supreme Court justice will be confirmed, even though she can't define what a woman is. She can't define what a baby is. I mean, you know, I mean, just think of how that implies. Doug, just segue for a minute here. You know, I identify as a woman and I go beat the living daylights out of another woman, a real woman. I identify as a woman. I can't be charged with, you know, crimes against the Domestic Violence Act, man against woman. I can't. I'm a woman. Do I get special government contracts because I identify as a woman? This is to demoralize and break down our society, which is they're being very functional at. They know what this is because, I mean, you know, they have these act. How do you have a Violence Against Women Act if you can't define what a woman is? I mean, it's you can't define it. So they know what they're doing. They are breaking down this civilization. These people are as debauched as they come. So, you know, for the last 2 years, we followed a narrative that we yielded our rights, our children's rights, over to the government, fundamentally changed the way we relate to our government. They told us that we couldn't go to church. They left abortion clinics open. They told us who we could fellowship, how we could fellowship, what jobs we could have, what businesses could stay in business, what business could not stay in business, you know, where we could go to a restaurant, all this. So it fundamentally changed the nature of government from we the people to we the government. The government yielded the power over people. And so they've established that. They're untouchable. They can do whatever they want at this point, dictate to us whatever they want, and they think we're going to have to obey them because we did for the last 2 years. And now this war, which, I mean, I think Biden just blamed the burning of Rome and the kidnapping of the Lindbergh baby on the Russians. I mean, everything is the Russians' fault, you know? And so the gas prices, oh, Russians, you know, the Russians kicked my dog. They ate my homework. Everything is Russia's fault. So what this is designing to do, they've already transformed the nature of how government relates to its people. And now they're creating the shortages necessary to make people dependent on them for everything. Because this is what's going to happen. We have not seen inflation yet because, you know, Ukraine is not planting the wheat fields. And so we do not have the fertilizer. I have a chart, a graph that shows fertilizer prices in really a near vertical trajectory right now. So farmers are not going to plant corn. They're going to plant soybeans, which take far less fertilizer. And so we're going to see what corn goes into, gasoline, everything corn's in. And so we're going to see a skyrocketing price of everything that corn does, beef, chicken, all of it, it's all feed, gasoline, all of it. And so this is going to create a dependent class in America. This is their plan. They're going to use Russia. They're going to use whatever. They'll start whatever wars. They don't care. They've murdered 60 million babies. So they obviously don't care what injury they cause to people. I mean, Nancy Pelosi standing in front of her Sub-Zero refrigerator eating gourmet ice cream, basically Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake or die. So that's what we're seeing going on right now. And, you know, we the people had better wake up to it, or we're going to wake up in the very, very near future with all of our rights gone, the supply chain completely broken, where you're going to have to depend on the government for everything. We see guaranteed basic income right around the corner. You know, last night I was listening to Marjorie Greene, representative, and she was talking about how at 12 o'clock last night, the Democrats called a quorum, and at 1:30 they met to pass the $1.5 trillion omnibus bill. They voted on it at 2:30. Not one Republican was aware of it. It's 2,741 pages. And they woke up this morning knowing that it passed, and nobody got to say anything about it. And so this is the type of leadership we have. So, you know, everything they've lied about, Hillary's computer, Trump, his collusion with the Russians, you know, the sicknesses, I'm not going to mention the word, you know, all of it was absolutely lied about what we're now supposed to believe, this narrative on Ukraine. I'm just here to say, yes, what Putin is doing, the victimization of innocent civilians is horrible. It's terrible. But there's so much more at play that we do not know. Who started it, why it was started, what was Putin pushed into. You know, I tell you, as an intelligence analyst, I would say this. I've read Putin's speech. You'd like it or not like it, the speech reveals one thing. He's appealing to somebody, but, you know, censors would never let that emotionalism go by that he had revealed in that speech. You know, when you're interrogating somebody and they start telling you, I believe, I do this, and emotion starts going in, that's the most exploitable thing you can do to somebody. As soon as they become a believer, you can exploit that. And there's so much emotionalism in that speech. I don't know if you read it, Doug, but this is a man who believes what he wrote in that speech. He is a believer in it. This is not something he wrote for public consumption. This is something he believes in. And so we're pushing him into a corner and not giving him any options. We've already declared him a war criminal, which means if he's captured, he'll go before The Hague. We're trying to financially destroy him, which is basically coming back on ourselves and destroying ourselves. Russia going to the gold standard, China buying their oil. We're creating an Axis and ally empire right now. My prediction here in the near future is that, you know, the Biden administration is concocting a deal with the Iranians. They're going to make the Obama deal look conservative. The Saudis and the Israelis will be strange bedfellows, but they will have no option but to say we can't allow a nuclear Iran, and there's going to be war in the Middle East. So that's a two-front war right there. And when that happens, you know China's going to say, we're just going to march in. I mean, they basically marched into Hong Kong and nobody did anything. And now they're going to march into Taiwan. And if we do anything, that's a three-front war. We talk about catastrophic shortages now. You know, if we stop buying from China, all of a sudden, our inflation rate goes hundreds of percent because all the cheap stuff we get from China that fills all the big box stores everywhere, you know, that is no longer available. So you see massive shortages, rationing. They've already talked about the digital currency. That would be the perfect implementation of digital currency so that they could control who buys what and how much you get. But this, I think, is a planned event. Let me say this as a Christian man. I love to read. I read the Screw Tape Letters. I don't know if you're familiar with it, Doug, by C.S. Lewis. Yep. It's a classic. Yep. And in that book, you have Uncle Wormwood telling his nephew Demon of how to deceive humanity, the subterfuge of words, trickery, all this. You know, when they call it the Great Reset, you know, I call it, how would Uncle Wormwood describe the Great Tribulation? He wouldn't call it the Great Tribulation. He'd call it the Great Reset. You know, you'll own everything, own nothing and love everything. This is what we see being built right before our eyes. The Christian church is totally silent on this. They don't haven't grown a pair. You know, as I was talking to you before the program, I have the two volume set, which I recommend everyone get. It's called Political Sermons of the Founding Era by Liberty Press. You can get it. And in that book, there's sermons by all the founding era of preachers preaching about how we need to be free from, you know, England and the moral impetus to do such. You know, even one of those sermons, I can imagine preaching this today before Congress. It's on Christmas Eve. One of the gentlemen preached a sermon on the second advent of Jesus Christ before both houses of Congress. Can you imagine that today? I mean, what do you think AOC's head would do? I mean, you know, it'd explode. But this is what we've been robbed of. And if we don't take it back, if we go along with everything that they're doing, you know, I look at the people who are supporting the Ukraine war and they're my enemies. I mean, politically, they're my enemies. And so it has to cause question what we're doing and why we're doing it. And if we bought the same pill that we bought 2 years ago. So that's what I'm looking at. The corruption is unbelievable. So it's high time people understand that we're going to face critical shortage in this nation. I mean, not just being able to not buy it because it's cost a lot. It won't be available. I can tell you right now, I've been running ready-made resources since 1995. I have never seen the supply chain shortage that I'm seeing right now. And the problem is, you know, America is waking up and more people want the supplies that are not available. And we see the big box stores. It always reminds me when I was a kid and I didn't want to eat my peas. I'd spread them out on the plate to make it look like they weren't there. But this is opposite. Now, if you go into these big box stores, you see them spreading stuff out to make it look like the shelves aren't empty, but they have half the product on them because they've spread it out or they put less out there. You know, they bring the two boxes to the front of the shelf and you look behind it and there's nothing behind it, just two boxes or something. So we are going to face this critical supply shortage. And I'm telling you, the government is going to play it. This is planned, absolutely planned, the Great Reset, the Great Tribulation, to coerce you into the government corral, the slaughterhouse. And so it's high time. I don't care where you get it from. If you get it from your big box store, if you get it from your local grocery store, whatever you get, you better get it now because you take this warning seriously. Your prices are going to skyrocket because wheat is not being planted. Ukraine makes enough food to feed 600 million people. I mean, they lead in so many different things of what they produce. That's not going to happen. Russia, we're not going to get the fertilizer we need, which is obvious. We're not getting it. The petroleum, gasoline, it's going to be, you know, I think it's going to be conservative at $5 a gallon. And so planting, all the cost, transportation, all of that goes up. We are a petrochemical economy. Without that, our economy collapses. We see right now, you know, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and other countries trying to switch over to the yen, gold back, whatever. And, you know, Glenn Beck, and you hear all these other people tell you the day that we lose reserve currency status, which I think is not too far in the future, we become an impoverished nation. Third, we can't buy anything. Our money's worthless. Nobody would want it. So This is high time for, I think, American people to do an analysis. What I say is do a small intel report. Write down can and can'ts, whatever you want to call it. This can happen because this, this, and this. It can't happen because of that. Write down, make your own intelligence report. I write it down every day. I look at it and I go, whoa, I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime, you know, because everything is coming together and verging. So be a little intelligence officer and do your own intelligence report. And you're going to come to a scary, scary conclusion.
Exactly. So with all of the things that you're talking about facing us, all of the events coming up here, and I do believe our economy, look, the way we took down the Soviet Union back in the late 80s, early 90s, that resulted in the dissolution of the Soviet Union. Folks, I understand, you know, that whole concept is debatable. But having said that, the first strike and the most incisive strike was against their economy. What do you think they're going to do to us and are doing to us? So I do see this coming. So Bob, you know, I love my audience. I really do. I see the emails that come in and they're great people. I know that you know all of this and all of the things that are happening. I want them to go, folks, I want you to go to Ready Made Resources. Again, this is not a commercial. This is a plea to get prepared for what's coming. What do you suggest that they get? For example, if they're new to the program, new to prepping, food, obviously, right? And what do you recommend from your store, readymaderesources.com?
Okay. Well, I'm going to address this. We left Libya as a failed state. We left Afghanistan as a failed state. We left Iraq as a failed state. We've left Syria in a failed state. Do we really want to leave Russia as a failed state with 8,000 nuclear weapons? Consider that horror story for a minute. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to leave Russia as a failed state. And they've got nuclear submarines off our coast, ballistic missiles. And so, you know, do we deal with the demon we know or the 12 demons, the oligarchs, which we don't know? And we don't know what happens to the nuclear weapons at that point or the chemical weapons, the biological weapons, because Russia's fragments, at least for a time. But anyhow, what I tell people is, first of all, the water is the most important thing. You don't even eat food if you don't have water, because if you eat food without water, you're just going to dehydrate quicker. So having a water filter is absolutely critical. Having the ability, if you live up north, to keep your water filter from freezing is critical. I have a video on YouTube, how to make an alcohol stove. You can do it for a few bucks to keep at least one room above freezing. Because if water filters freeze, they crack because water expands when it freezes. And the other thing, as I recommend, being able to communicate, you know, having the ability to intercept communication, listen to the communication in your area. As I told you before the program, Dave, you know, I love my wife dearly, so please don't take as an example. But, you know, if I'm listening and I hear somebody say, you know, I got to go home because my old lady's griping at me, or, you know, I got to leave now because my sweetie and I have a date night. See, both say you're married. Both of them tell you you're married, but one of them says, I'm waiting for a Mack truck to run her over. And the other one says, she's endeared to me. You know, when I know someone's endeared, you can exploit it. And the purpose of that intelligence gathering is exploitation. You're an investigator. I mean, that you know that.
Yep.
And so I'd rather listen And that's why the ability to listen locally and gain intelligence locally. I briefly mentioned surveillance defined radio. I don't have time to go into that. We could do a whole program on it, but it is one of the greatest intelligence gathering tools that you can get for under $500 and have it on your computer and watch broad spectrums of the electromagnetic spectrum, who's transmitting, who's not, including all your first responders, fire, police, ambulance, whatever. You can see them doing it, click the button, and you can listen to it. And then the last thing is, you know, special optics. I'm a big promoter of that. Talk to any guy who's ever been in a war zone. I've had two sons in war zones, one with JSOC and one was a Marine. And they'll tell you the benefits of having night vision or thermal equipment. I will say this, you can have all the food in the world, you can have your water filters, you can have whatever you want, but if you can't defend at night, you're gonna face a horror nightmare that you don't wanna face, because when those people come that have that, they're going to psychologically break you down because they're not going to let you sleep. And I've gone through sleep deprivation. I know what it's like. It's horrible. It's beyond something you can imagine. It's horrible. At the same time, being run ragged through a bunch of things, being sleep deprived, it's not very fun. And they're not going to come just for your food. The number one marketable thing in the world today is females. Although, you know, we can't define what a female is anymore. I guess I'm one if I want to be, you know, but again, I think real people know what females are. That's going to be the number one marketing thing. You're going to have to defend against this. I'm telling you, you cannot take a society that is saturated with violence and pornography like we are. I mean, we're saturated with it. And then think that these people who do nothing, including government employees, that they find that sit 8 hours a day downloading porn on government computers. You can't take those people and expect that when the collapse happens, they will not take up knitting. They're going to take up acting out what they've seen. And so you're going to have to be able to defend against them. And I encourage people to do that. I encourage, when you do use radio, cell phone, whatever, start practicing OPSEC on your thing. You know, I would never say my little girls. I would never use terms like that. It's just you have to be very careful. I'll be glad to do a program to giving people tips of what to do, authentication methods of what you can do with a radio. But there's a lot more you can do with a radio than what you can imagine. Trust me. Food, water, we have a new food brand. I really like it. It's the best food brand I've ever tasted. And I mean this, it's called Peak Refuel. It has twice the protein of the leading brand, which I don't want to mention their name, but has twice the protein of the leading brand in pouch foods. All of our staff has tasted it. I mean, they rave on it. Peak Refuel. We have it online. And then the water filtration, and that depends on what you're trying to accomplish, whether it's a fixed location or a mobile location, what kind of water filter you would need. And then again, the communication, being able to listen and do other things with your radio, and then, you know, being able to protect at night. That's okay. Absolutely critical.
You know, folks, I'll tell you something right out of the gate. The night vision is the greatest equalizer. And I know people say, it's out of my price range. Well, you know what? Save up for it, because it's one of the Russ Dizdar, myself, the team used night vision, and frankly, it saved us a couple of times. I mean, it literally saved our butts. So that's a great equalizer. And everything that Bob said, please, please, folks, go to readymaderesources.com, because I care about you. Okay. This is not about me. This is not about Bob. This is about being prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com and make sure that you stock up. You get your supplies ready. Bob, I know this was an inconvenience for you to come on time-wise and schedule-wise, but would you come back and maybe for a little bit longer and talk more about things? Because you're just such a wealth of information.
I'd be glad to. I really recommend people go and look up on YouTube, SDR Radio, SDR Play. It is the greatest intelligence tool you will have other than night vision. The two are going to go, night vision and communication are like a perfect marriage. But look it up. I don't sell the equipment. You can get it from Ham Radio Outlet. It's a little black box, hooks to your computer, and oh boy, what it does.
Okay. All right. In fact, I'll put a link to that topic in the program description box for today's episode, as well as, of course, ready-made resources. Folks, please definitely go there. Again, Bob Griswold, a wealth of information and certainly a wealth of preparation, which we all need. Bob, thank you so very much for your time today.
Thank you. And God bless you, Doug. Thank you.
God bless you as well. One of the finest men I know, and I'm telling you, one of the greatest. He's got a great heart. one of the finest people I know is Bob Griswold. I've met him in person. I'd like to say I spent a lot of time with him, but I really haven't. I spent enough time to know that he's really a gem, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And I thank him for all he does for all of us. And you know what? If you have any questions, certainly contact him at Ready Made Resources. So go to readymaderesources.com. All right. A lot of information downloaded there, right? So that was kind of like an information dump of what we're facing right now. And what he said, too, about the John Lovell interview with Madison Cawthorn, I somehow missed that, okay? But I watched it twice and listened to what he said. I'm going to – look, folks, the link will be in this description box to that video. You've got to watch it. And think about what is being said with respect to how Washington operates, okay? The sex parties, but more importantly, the fact that they have information on people from, 15, 17, 20 years ago. And, hey, you vote this way or, boy, it would be a shame if this came out, right? And other little lobbying things that for a freshman congressman. Very interesting insights. So that's from Warrior Poets Society, John Lovell and Madison Cawthorn. All right. Coming up is Stan Dale from standale.com. Before I get to Stan, something? And this is a true story. I know somebody's going through a really hard time, divorce and all that. And I had a conversation with this individual this weekend. And there was a lot of credit card debt that needed to be paid off. And the subject came into the interest rates on credit card debts. And lightstream.com/Hagman. I said, you've got to go there. Folks, if you've got any credit card debt that you want to consolidate, pay off, if you're paying 18, 19, 20, I don't know, whatever your percentage rate is, bring it down to 4.98% APR. With auto pay. Why not? Lightstream.com. So if you're tired of paying high interest rates on your credit card debt, check out lightstream.com/Hagman or lightstream.com. Their credit card consolidation loan can help you pay off the credit card very fast and keep more money in your pocket in the process. Loans range from $5,000 to $100,000. You can roll your cards into one low payment at a fixed rate as low as 4.98% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. It's way lower than most credit cards, obviously. If you've got a lot of credit card debt and it's been hanging around for a while, you might feel stuck with those high rates. But with Lightstream, no. You've got an option that will actually work for you. They can help you. They can help you free up all that money. I'm telling you, I don't talk about anything I don't personally use or believe in, okay? This I believe in 100%. So how can you take advantage of this? Apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. Just go to lightstream.com/Hagman. That's LIGHTSTREAM. Lightstream.com/Hagman. Two N's on Hagman. This is subject to credit approval. Now, rates do range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You will be glad you did. You will thank me later. Speaking of thanking me later, you can thank Stan Dale for coming up with EMPShield.com. I mean, oh my goodness. Think of this, okay? I think one of our greatest vulnerabilities is the EMP, all right? And that's kind of, I'm thinking cyber attack, but EMP too, all right? Protect yourself, protect your equipment. Go to EMPShield.com, get one of these for your home, your generator, your car. That's right. Use promo code Hagman for $50 off individual units. And of course, the more you buy, the more you get off. And there is bulk purchases. But go to EMPShield.com. and use promo code Hagman. I would do that today. I would not wait. Don't wait another minute. It's all about preps, isn't it? We're all about preparing people for what's about to happen. All right. With me is Stan Dale from standdale.com. And, you know, two of the hardest working people on the planet, Stan and Holly Dale. I don't know how they do it. I just don't know how. But I'll tell you what. Holly wrote the definitive book, Dare to Prepare. If you go to daretoprepare.com, there's a lot of information there for free. Please, again, I'm thinking in my head, prepare, because whatever's coming, whatever hits first, okay, you're going to need to prepare. So download the information there, daretoprepare.com, but order Dare to Prepare, as well as Cosmic Conspiracy, to get the background from Stan's research, as well as all of the intellectual products. And if you believe in Stan and Holly, then support them by way of Patreon, okay? Let's go to standdale.com and follow the links to Patreon. And again, one of the smartest guys I know in terms of physics and science is Stan Dale. I was going to try to make a joke about that, but no, there's no joking at all. One of the most intelligent, smartest guys I know about physics, science, and stuff that is way over my head is Stan Dale. Stan, how are you, sir? Do we have you? Hello, is this thing on? Eric the Tech. Hey, oh, you're okay, there you go.
Yeah, I heard what you said, and it really kind of reflects that you don't have a broad circle of friends, if I'm such a...
Well, I got my dog.
Well, there you go.
I got Eric the Tech. Well, okay, now I know. Oh, I know what you're saying now. No, I'll tell you what. No, I'm serious. You know what? I was thinking about this, and you really are ahead of the curve on pretty much all things space, physics, science, earth changes, whatever the case might be. So I appreciate this, and I know our audience appreciates your heads up about things. And Holly, of course, her hard work building everything, building the site and keeping the site going. And man, it's a thankless job, but anyway.
It will pay you later. Thank you for that.
Yeah. I expect it. And rubles. No, I don't know.
Yeah, that's about right. I started this scientific stuff that you're talking about 75 years ago. So here's a picture of me when I was about two out exploring in Grandpa's garden for scientific stuff.
Is that really you? That's really
yes,
you.
Me. Yeah.
What a cute little guy. Handsome little guy. What are you doing there, though?
Well, I was sneaking up on something. I don't know what it was.
Okay.
I wasn't sure whether it was going to bite me or something. I'm not sure. I was somewhat hesitant that you look at the picture.
Or you're saying, look at that explosion that, you know, I caused. Right?
Well, yeah, let's go forward about 8 years or so, and I discovered that you can get glass bottles from the pharmacy and, the local pharmacist, and you can get some potassium permanganate and glycerin, and you can mix them together in that bottle and then shake it up, and it makes a grenade. And it was somewhere in that same neighborhood there of, Grandpa's yard that I had one of them go off in my hand and turn me purple all over because of, manganate blast.
Hang on a second. Okay, so now you said grenade, you're making a grenade. Give me the the ingredients and...
Well, you can get potassium permanganate, purple crystals.
Okay.
And you can get glycerin. Glycerin syrup.
All right.
And you can mix them together. But as soon as you mix them together, you want them to be in a safe place because they're going to make smoke and fire. If you put them in a bottle, then they make smoke and fire and explosion. And so,
cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
The
next party we have, that's we know what we're going to do. All right. Thank you. No, that's a great picture, by the way, folks. That's a great picture. That's Stan.
All right.
All right.
Okay. Enough nonsense here.
Yes.
There's so much news happening now then. All of it's basically biblical prophecy coming to bear on us. In our show images page, the first image I've got at the top there, image number 55, it shows our fearless leader, what's his name, in the White House, requesting $813 billion. Okay, that's nearly $1 trillion to give a 4.6% pay rise for the troops and the largest R&D budget in history as Russian aggression in Ukraine spurs demand for more military spending. Now, if you click on the text, you see what I'm talking about. He's ordered all this stuff, and he's trying to get the favor of the military, obviously, you know, and the right wing in our society, because he's trying to show that he's doing the right thing, you know, which it's all for show. I don't think that the money he's wanting to put in or saying he's going to put in is going to help the situation this late in the game, because when the Huns are at the door, when the, you know, the rebels or whatever, the Russian troops, when they're at the door, you don't say, look, we better do some R&D to see how to get these guys, you know, with burning oil or whatever. It's just too late in the game. But that's, you know, that's him and his ilk. They don't do these things they should be doing because, you know, until the barbarians are at the gate, it just shows a lack of foresight. They're more interested on political capital that they can get from whatever they say or do. It doesn't matter what they actually do, just what they say. And it just, you know, you look at this picture of Biden in that slide there and you think, oh, wow, this is tough talk, but he's trying to remember his lines. That's the question, really. Was it number one or number two? You know, bad guy, bad guy.
You know, this is frightening to have a guy. I know he's just the front man, but boy, I'll tell you what. The gaffes, they're not even gaffes. The statements he's made in the White House and people trying to walk him back. Hey, that man can't, you know, referring to Putin, we got to get him out of office or can't stay in office.
Got to remove him, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and responding in kind to nuclear, to chemical weapons. Are you serious? I mean, oh my goodness. We're in a lot of trouble. We really are.
There's no filter on him.
No.
He can go anywhere, what he wants to say. In that article, it says, the budget slows the Department of Defense purchasing of the stealth F-35 fighter jet, the Pentagon's largest weapons program, after Air Force leaders complained that technological improvements to the jet's hardware were too slow. Now, is that too slow in coming, or the improvements to the hardware made it so that it was too slow to compete with the Russians or the Chinese? Let's tell the Chinese and the Russians and the Iranians, et cetera, the North Koreans, what our problems are. You know, let's say our F-35s aren't, you know, up to scratch. I just find this is just absolutely madness.
Using your crystal ball, how's this going to end up, play out with Russia, Ukraine, and stuff?
I've been trying to figure all this out in relation to, you know, prophetic, you know, actual wars or conflicts that are going to occur, whether it's going to be this or that. And I'm not sure. It seems to be out of sequence that we're now being threatened with a Russian-Chinese invasion. Is this going to delay for 7 or 8 to 10 years? I mean, if you say the rapture didn't occur until, you know, gosh, in the 30s, 2030s sometime. I don't think we can hold on that long. So I know we're close to when the rapture is going to occur. So where in the prophetic scenario, you know, is the destruction of Babylon? I kind of got the impression it was later, but what we're seeing in current events is it might be sooner, you know, at the earlier part of the tribulation. I'm not sure. I do think that when I could tie the biblical prophecies with the Hopi prophecies that we were given, that they said that Russia and China, one Middle Eastern nation, would attack the United States and utterly destroy it. Major cities, everything, just wipe it out and then turn around and leave, probably because they've so polluted, you know, the American landscape that there's nothing there that they want. And, you know, are we at that point? And is that, you know, occurring before the New World Order? There are a lot of questions rolling around in my mind, because I don't feel that what we're seeing in current events exactly fits the timeline that I've constructed in my mind about the tribulation and, you know, Babylon's place in it. Because I think the New World Order has to establish before God remembers Babylon and, you know, and destroys it. I don't know. It's a hard question for me to answer, I guess, for any of us.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, you bring up some really great points. I think you look at what Biden has said, and you look at Biden. I mean, starting out with Biden and starting out with Ukraine, all of this, I think whatever is coming is already started. In other words, that snowball coming down the mountain there, you know, making it bigger, something's a snowball. I mean, that's already torquing down the mountain, side of the mountain. So, you know, we have to be sober-minded and always be watchful and be ready, like the wise virgins out of Matthew 25, I believe. So that's my view. But, man, it's going to get worse. You're right.
So. Well, one thing's for sure. You can see it on the grocery store shelves, you know, the holes in the product lines, you know, as far as stock, that there's no stock or no chicken and things like that because of bird flu and shortage elsewhere. With beef being, you know, priced out of existence, with corn almost, you know, going to be very, very short in supply this time. That's famine, right? And we're facing that now. It's not someday. We're seeing these things at the gas tank, you know, at the gas pump and at the supermarkets. I'm sure there are a lot of other places we're seeing these inflationary rises.
Yeah, and I don't want to take over your thing, but you meant on slide 52. I don't want to call anything up that you don't want to call up, but you know about the food and stuff. How did we get to a guy like Bill Gates sticking his nose into everything, you know, and making us eat or saying that we should eat, you know, mush. I mean, I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to get to that because he reminds me a little bit of Marie Antoinette's alleged statement where she said that the peasants eat bread because there was a shortage of, or eat cake rather, because there was a shortage of bread at the time. But he's saying, you know, okay, look, Americans can eat the crappy, you know, artificial meat and we'll give all the good stuff to the third world countries. Let's get all the first world, you know, nations to donate or give, not sell, but give this, you know, real meat to the third world countries. And you got to wonder if the logic of that, why would he say it? And he says, eventually you'll get used to the taste. You will like it. I don't know. He's a powerful man and crazy ideas.
Meanwhile, you know, they'll have their fillets. They'll have their personal stashes of you know, cattle and chickens and turkeys and whatever else. Yeah. You know, so it's all the rules are for us peasants, not for them. We saw it, and you mentioned Pelosi. So, but you know what? What's with Gates buying up all the farmland? Well, we know what, you know, where that's going to end up. So, you know, going back to what you said too about the timetable, the schedule, the events, man, you know, regardless of when, it's soon, right? I mean, things are just shaping up to be soon.
And look, you know, in Israel, in slide 54, if you click on that, you can go to the article, they're taking steps now in Israel to expedite, you know, the importing of various grains and stuff and stocking, you know, more than they need right now. But they're getting ready for a massive famine on the planet and particularly in Israel. And that tells you, you know, when at government level, they're doing this. Let's see here. I'm reading from the article. Israel appears to be heeding Joseph's ancient advice in prioritizing wheat over other imported goods. We face challenges to our food security at the time being because of the worrying developments in Ukraine, noted Transportation Minister Mirav Mikhaili in a statement on Thursday. There's a picture over there in the article. The state of Israel must safeguard its food security by strengthening our domestic agriculture, taking steps to get the grain and fodder that Israel agriculture relies on. The nation will quickly ensure that we maintain Israeli food security despite changes worldwide. So she's thinking worldwide, she's thinking out of the box, but she's also saying we're stepping out of the world crisis. We're going to prepare ourselves. And people will be coming to them and whoever has, you know, prepared and put away food for the famine, which I guess takes us back to preparing your home and your neighbors, knowing you've got preparation there It'll be like, you know, Joseph handing out, you know, food, sparsely so, but to those who didn't prepare. I guess many of us that have prepared that way have put aside extra for our neighbors and things, but the neighbors will all have prepared.
Yeah, you know, I really want to be in the position to help people. I really do. And the first segment of the show was about preparations and preparedness and my desire that everyone is prepared for what's coming. And I know we can't prepare for everything, but, you know, we can be more prepared than the average bear. And if we can help someone, great, even better. Because and even if it's not for us, we can leave it for our children and their children. So, yeah.
We loaded yesterday, I think it was, a skid of Holly Spoke Dare Prepares, about 1,600 pounds of books, urgent delivery to the eastern states. One of our booksellers over there, people are panicking and suddenly realizing, hey, we need to figure out how to handle what's coming, how to prepare. And even though they may not be able to prepare everything all at once because they've not left enough time, they are able to start preparing, which is, you know, Holly says in the front of the book, the Dare to Prepare book, that, you know, you can do it one day at a time, one paycheck at a time, you know, one trip to the store at a time, get certain things. And, you know, the obvious things like toilet paper and stuff like that, that people are going to be short of. You don't just go in there and load up your trolley with a gazillion tons of it. You go take a little bit extra that you would normally buy. So you don't create a demand shortage, you know, by panic buying. Everybody else doing the same thing just depletes the supply.
Right.
And in a time when diesel is so expensive and trucks, you know, can't economically deliver these things, you don't want to add a burden to the supply line. It's going to get you what you need. So be clever about it and get small amounts. And if you get to some product that you really want to buy, you know, three or four of them, but there's only about five, don't take all five. Be sure to leave some for the next guy. And think of us as a family.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you had mentioned the food shortages. I guess, how soon do you think that the, I don't want to say average, general population are going to, how soon do you think that they're going to realize, wait a minute, there really is a food, they're not hyping this up. There are shortages. How soon do you think we're going to get to that point where it's going to be so obvious that no one can deny it?
We're heading that way now. I mean, we can look at people visiting our site. We have people from China, from Ukraine, from Russia, you know, Canada, obviously, and Australia. But we have people from 110 countries coming to our website and mainly to our prep website. So that's telling us that, you know, the word's out everywhere, all over the planet. And people are wanting to figure out how to endure, how to do their own gardens, how to save water, that kind of stuff. So I think it started, and it's going to escalate to the point where people are hitting each other over the head for places in line at the food stores. And gasoline, diesel, I don't know. You know, they're not going to be able to afford it at the rate it's going. So the lines may be short for those. But those things are drivers for famine, because the price of groceries is going to be so high that what you can get is just, it's crippling to your budget. What's the Bible say? A day's wages for a loaf of bread, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you about it. We're heading that way. Now, there are other factors, you know, beyond, you know, our control of ourselves and panic buying. So if there are things controlling the weather, the climate on this planet that we cannot control, these are things from the sun primarily. But look at slide 53. Click on the picture and let's look at that. This is showing the fires, severe ones and smaller ones, comparing it from 1984 to 1999, and then from 2005 to 2018. And look at the graphs. You know, the one on the left is, you know, like 25 years ago or so, and the one on the right is now, well, recently now. You can see that there are more severe fires, big fires, you know, the red and the orange, and little forest fires, they're spreading through to Texas and over to the East Coast and along the Appalachians and stuff. I mean, what's causing all these fires? It's drought, for one thing. But why are we having drought, such an uncharacteristic drought? Well, the planet's axis is shifting. And I don't know how much it is today, but the last couple of weeks I measured a two-degree shift. The sun is ahead by 2 degrees, which means we've tilted the surface of the Earth, the crust, by that much, so that we're not getting the sun at the same time or same place. The Inuit Indians first reported this, and I thought, oh, it's just, native legend or whatever, and I went to check it myself, and I thought, well, gee, those guys are right. The sun is rising in a different place. It's not, obvious to the casual observer, but it is to those that are observing, professionally, like the Inuit do. It's part of their culture to keep an eye on the climate.
If you don't mind, just so I understand, because that's interesting. So you're saying, okay, the sun, there's a 2-degree shift in the placement of the sun. That's not the right terminology. I know that. But like if I was to go outside at dawn and look at the sun, it would be 2 degrees different than it was.
Where it should have been last year at the same time.
Okay.
Look, I use a program called Stellarium. And what I do is I take that in one hand, my iPhone, and the other hand with the compass in it. And I go, and it doesn't matter what time of day, I look at the Stellarium because it lets you pick the current time, second by second. And it says, okay, the sun should be at this place on a grid map. They show you the heavens grids. And they say it should be here at this time, at this second. And I take my compass in the iPhone, and I point it straight at the sun where it is. And it is 2 degrees ahead of where the Stellarium says it should be. And Stellarium uses the historic databases and stuff, and they calculate where the sun and other planets are supposed to be when you pick a time and a date. So that's the way you do it. And it's not highly accurate. I'm sure that amateur astronomers can do it with much more accuracy. And then somebody holding an iPhone and eyeballing the arrow pointing to north or pointing to the sun in this case, and see if it's where it's supposed to be. And that's Stanley's crude method of verifying what the Inuit are saying, is the sun is not in the spot, in the place it's supposed to be, whether it's during the day or whether it's just rising or setting. And they pay attention to these things, the Native Americans, the people. And they look at the weather as a guide to various things, it used to be for hunting buffalo and for those that were cultivating, for planting crops and things. And the Hopi do that. And it's definitely off. And our first people, the people here that settled in North America for us, can tell you exactly, point finger and say from here to there, it should not be here. It should be over there. It's going to get worse. Let me see. Let me just go down and cover that here in slide 37 down toward the bottom there, third of the page. We go to 37, Eric, and click on the picture. Here's part of the reason that we're seeing a magnetic pole shift. And this is also accompanying the physical shift of the magnetic pole, of the crust of the Earth. Now, zoom in on the top picture, because you're scrolling, there's two pictures in there, one over the top of each other. Just scroll down for a second to the bottom and look at the map. And there you go. And you can click on that and zoom it up. And it's showing where the North Magnetic Pole has been accelerating. And you can see by looking at the left part of that red line that it was not going as fast as it is now by any means. Now we're looking at 40 miles a year toward the Siberian plateau in Russia. Now, what I found interesting, if you look at the top picture, just roll it up to the top and zoom in. Okay, now you'll see there that there's a little yellow pin that says the latitude and longitude of the North Pole right now. And then you'll see a little yellow pin over to the right, over a little dark area in the ocean bottom. It's a hole, actually. And that's where the original North Pole was before the flood and the impact of the asteroid in India that caused the crust of the Earth to shift violently. And you can see a long tear in the surface of the Earth, that right underneath that hole at the North Pole sign, and go all the way down toward Greenland. And then beyond that, if you get in at Google Earth, you can see how the North Pole has physically chewed up the seabed, moving from where it used to be. Now, the North Pole is moving toward that start point. Now, whether it will stop when it gets there at that hole at the North Pole bent, you know, before it gets to Siberia, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if the thing kind of orbits around that hole there where the North Pole originally was before the flood. Well, that's just some of Stanley's.
What would, okay, so how about this? What difference does it make? Echoing, you know, Hillary Clinton there, but what difference would that make if that appeared over the old North Pole?
Well, I don't know. It's like a spinning top kind of going around and around and coming to visit where it was a while ago. And it's part of the precession studies of the surface. And, I think that the crust itself, as I say, is moving to let the sunrise be 2 degrees ahead of when it should be or where it should be. If you read the article there, they do tell you that, that this polar shift is because of two lobes underneath the crust in the core. And, this is telling us that we're approaching a point that we used to be at. And it's like magnetic memory or Earth memory. It'll stabilize over where it used to be. It's a hole, and it's like an area of the crust that, and in the core, where these things feel comfortable, if I can use that analogy, these lobes. And in that article, you can see it shows you a picture of the lobes how they've changed, and they're making the magnetic north go that way. But we're going to be losing the magnetic field for a period of time. We know it's weakening now, but the magnetic shield that we have is going to be going to zero at some point in time. And the traditional scientific community says, don't worry about it, it'll be hundreds of thousands of years or whatever. But we're seeing it happen right before our eyes, that the field is weakening. And without that shield, that magnetic shield, you know, it's going to be ultraviolet radiation that strikes us in deep space, cosmic radiation. It'll kill plants and insects like bees. And it'll give us skin cancer and illness. So all these things are important to where the North Magnetic Pole is and how strong it is.
Wow. Okay. And I did look at the article there in that link. Folks, go to standale.com, show images, and you can drill down into the article as well. And a lot of questions are answered within that article. Very interesting. Wow.
You know, I'm sure you've talked about this. We have here for a couple of days too about the Ukrainian conflict, about the body counts. Of course, the Ukrainians are going to give a high count of Russians they've killed, and the Russians are going to give a low count. In the article, it gives you the rundown on it. Pravda, which is Russian, news, and their favorite to Russia, not to Ukraine, they say that about 9,800 Russian soldiers have died in the invasion of Ukraine, and that 16,000 have been injured in that. If you look at the article, it says, scrolling down here, it says what I just said, that the Ukrainians probably exaggerate the number of Russians killed, which would mean they think there were more than 9,800. And, because that's favorable to their forces and what they've done to the Russian invaders. But anyway, there's a nice article and a couple of tweets about this. And I think it's worth reading that just to show you how propaganda goes both ways.
And
we got more.
Folks, that's show images page number 56, if I'm not mistaken, right there.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. That was right. The number. Now, wow. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just, like you said, propaganda goes both ways. And, you can't really, it's difficult to discern facts because, it just is. Go ahead. We don't have to.
Yeah, it is. I mean, this is, you know, even in non-war times, you know, what the politicians and leaders tell their people, you know, you take with a grain of salt, if you can afford salt, that is. Anyway, slide 57, things are happening in the Middle East. Now, you know, in Trump's time in office there, he and Jared Kushner and Avi Berkowitz, they set up the Abraham Accords to start getting Middle Eastern Arab nations to bond together in trade agreements and things and make peace between each other. And they had them sit down at the table. Well, now there is a summit in Israel. Well, there was yesterday that the United States and four Arab countries discuss how to coordinate against Iran. So they're forming another group, a consortium of Middle Eastern countries, figure out how to handle Iran. Now, Saudi Arabia hates the Iranians and their form of Islam anyway. Any cooperation between Saudi Arabia and Iran, if such a thing occurs, is only temporary. And in the long run, Saudi Arabia wants to take down Iran. But Iran has, you know, its finger on nuclear weapons, which it can deliver to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is going to be using Pakistan's nuclear arsenal to back them up. You know, it's the fact that we're setting up a new group in the Middle East, a group of countries, is adding to the Abraham Accords type of behavior, but in an international political thing for preventing Iran from becoming, you know, a villain in the Middle East, a nuclear villain. Anyway, that's an interesting article. You ought to read it. It just shows you that it goes on since Trump has, you know, not been allowed back in the office, which where he should have been, that these things are continuing in one form or another. They're the Bidens, you know, the Democrats are seeing that they should make a Middle East peace consortium, that goes well at the polls. They don't do anything for what is right. They do what is going to keep them in power, you know, the most and the longest. I wish we could speed time up and get to November 22nd to the elections quicker, because it's so far away and they're doing so many bad things to our country. The New World Order is what it was. It is that we virtually just can't afford to let them stay there and do the things they're doing until November. And even in November, if the Republicans win a lot of seats in the House, they're not going to take those seats and be able to do anything until January the next year. You know, you still got 45 days or something to deal with the old order and what they're going to do in the short time. Now, in Russia, as I said last week, they were having a burning of the Tower of Babel in some of the celebrations there in Russia. And this was to destroy the New World Order. So Putin says he's going after Ukraine to destroy their support of the New World Order. Now, it doesn't really make sense to me, because the New World Order really is, you know, China and Russia and Europe and... If I look at prophecy correctly, though, the New World Order under the Antichrist will not include China and maybe not include Russia. So maybe they are going after the New World Order headquartered in Europe and the United States. It's all, you know, interpreting prophecy is kind of after the fact. You say, oh, yeah, that's what really happened. I was thinking it was going to be this, but you got to take prophecy with a grain of salt and hope you get it right.
It just seems to me like you can almost equate this, in my view, to a proxy fight, a corporate proxy fight for takeover of a corporation. Like, for example, the New World Order that's referenced, is it, you know, the Rothschild dynasty or the Rockefeller dynasty? And, you know, there's a inter-corporate fight for control of the corporation. That's the way I look at it. You know.
Yeah, well, you don't hear in the list of Illuminists, you don't hear Sung Su, Chong Wan, you know, whatever Chinese, you know, families that are in the New World Order. They're in the Chinese order. And as Sung Su said in The Art of War, you know, China follows that. They're standing back. They're apart from the rest of the countries of the world, even though they make agreements and trade agreements and things like that with the other countries. They're sitting back and encouraging the other countries to fight amongst themselves politically and economically and resolve, you know, some kind of a world order in that. So then China can attack one group, one world order group, get all these enemies after they beat each other over the head for years or whatever to get to this point. They're weakened, their military supplies are down. And, you know, China then wants to step in and take up, you know, take over, pick up the pieces. That's the art of war. Have your enemies fight amongst themselves until they're just, you know, flat out tired and depleted in their resources. And then it's the time for China to step in. I think that's what we're seeing is there's a new world order of Europe, you know, that we've seen prophecy that will, you know, give birth to the Antichrist and that kind of stuff. But that's not going to include China because China comes in, you know, at the Battle of Armageddon. It's different. So these are things to consider when you're looking at prophecy. Wow.
I guess the only thing to do is just, folks, be prepared, you know, prepare yourselves, be always watchful and sober-minded, like I said, you know, so.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you know, in slide 51, I was, you know, kind of encouraged, as I suppose a lot of people were, that the Ukrainian troops figured out a way to burn and sink the Orsk, a supply chain, you know, a vessel, a naval vessel that supplies stuff to the Russian army there at Mariupol. And they managed to get into that shipyard and into that ship and plant something that exploded inside. You can see the fireball there, and then sank that thing. And if I were Ukrainian civilian or you know, paramilitary, I would say, wow, that's a blow for us against the bad guys. Now, we're hearing reports, you know, I'm sure you've heard it today too, that and yesterday, that the Russians seem to be stalled, you know, at Mariupol and various other places, and that they aren't getting in any further, that they're not moving. Now, is this because the Ukrainians have been so fierce and stopped them? Partly, yes. But it could be that the Russians are holding back because they're fixing to do something really nasty to the Ukrainians, probably biowarfare of some sort. And they don't want their troops to get hit when that goes. So they're allowing themselves to be stagnated and backed off so that they can make a clean hit, you know, with nukes or with biowarfare. That's just my opinion, but it's not what it always seems. The obvious is not always the situation.
You know, I can't help but go back to the information on Hunter Biden's laptop. And, you know, I've written extensively in Wisconsin Christian News about Hunter Biden's laptop and the information, especially with China and Russia and Ukraine. Now, but there's so much data, okay? I was surprised because I've seen the name Metabiota. I've seen that name in the contact or in the emails, in the documents on the laptop. The what you said about the potential bio attack, you've got a whole lot, relatively speaking, of bio labs in Ukraine. I can't get it out of my mind that there's a connection between the revelation of these bio labs, bad bio labs, and the fact that maybe they may come into play here, and misattribution comes to mind in my head. Okay, boy, what would happen if this was released because of a bomb, you know, some pathogen or whatever? I don't know, but there's something there that you said that makes me think that, man, we gotta watch. And really, before we point fingers, I think we have to really gather all the facts and be very wary of what is being fed to us.
Yeah, and you know, I'm trying to look into Putin's mind, which is difficult for any of us to do, but if he is going to use some sort of biowarfare, I think it will be chemical warfare, because biowarfare can mutate and spread and hit your troops and hit all of Europe, part of Russia. He probably will use some sort, you know, like sarin, you know, a chemical that will kill a lot of people, but it'll go to ground and the solar radiation, ultraviolet stuff will disperse it and make it non-toxic after a while. That way he can kill off the people, but, you know, his troops can then move in safely within a day or two and pick up the real estate. But biowarfare, the prevailing winds are going to go into Russia. You know, if he blows up these labs and releases these biowarfare things, you know, living organisms that can reproduce, that's really going to hurt him.
And that's my point. Okay. Imagine people saying, hey, this bio lab was hit by Russians in Ukraine, and look what they did. They caused all of this death because of the prevailing winds, because of where this would end up or potentially end up. You know, that kind of thing. That's what I mean about misattribution. But what do I know? Like a false flag kind of thing. To really kind of get NATO jacked up to do something against Russia to cause a, you know, something even worse to happen. But I don't know.
Well, you know, I don't know of any country where the people of the country really support what their leadership is doing. Nearly every country you see the common person being really irritated and losing faith in their leadership in any country. And this is pushing us to the point where the people, rather than the country leader, the people are crying out for someone to give them peace and safety, someone to be logical and look after them rather than lie to them and steal from them. That's very fertile ground for a new Hitler or, you know, a new Antichrist type leader of the planet. And this is, as I said many times, the world leader, the Antichrist, is not going to force and take over the world's people. He's going to offer a solution to them, and they will go to him for help, much like, you know, they did to Hitler. You know, get rid of the crooked politicians and stuff. If you listen to some of his speeches in English, you know, Hitler's stuff, he was appealing to the common German person, you know, grassroots nationalism. National socialism, as it was, Nazism. But anyway, I digress.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. All right.
All right. Now, I'm telling you some of the problems we're having. I'm going to get to the sun in a moment. How much time have we got left?
We've got about 12 minutes.
Oh, 12. I better hurry along. Okay. All right. The sun is probably the biggest thing to look at the moment. I'll be looking at slides 43 through 48. Let's take a look at, let's look at 46, the picture. Click on the picture. And this picture is showing the sun solar cycle on a particular day in 2014. And if you look at the picture, you see that the band of hot spots, coronal mass ejections and flares coming from them. We've seen this before, but in 2014, which is the last solar cycle, about the high point of it, this is what we were seeing. And, you know, our cycle is supposed to be a smaller number of sunspots and, you know, less violent and things like that. But they're in the white graph there in the middle of that, underneath that picture, if you just roll it down, the graph showing the green sunspot numbers, and then the red and the blue is showing the forecast that had to be corrected by NASA and NOAA because they thought it'd be a low kind of that blue line, it'd be a low sunspot cycle count this time, and you know it would stretch out. Now they had to revise it to that pinkish orange color, saying that we're going to have a peak of this solar cycle this time quicker than we thought, and you know, about twice, you know, the number of sunspots that we forecast. Now, if you click back out of that and go over to slide 47, if you click on 47, and let's have a look at that's today, right? And okay. Could you put that up?
Yep, you'll see we're working on that right now.
And you know, there's the orange in that frequency. The brown one's one frequency. And then down below is the purple frequency, the same thing, just showing different characteristics of different depths within the magnetic field. But what do you see here? You see parallel bands of, you know, severe activity. And, well, wait a minute, that was like in 2014, we saw that toward the peak of the solar cycle. we're a couple years off. And we're already getting this stuff now, which is telling the sun is becoming very active very early. And this is driving a lot of our weather changes. I mean, the famine stuff is not going to go away. It's going to get worse because of this. It's just drying out, you know, and not making crops available. Not to mention Bill Gates and some of the others buying up our farmland stuff and letting it sit fallow for a while. They control the land, but it's not producing what we need. Anyway.
Yeah. Wow.
And look at slide 48, our normal heliographic thing. Just click on the picture. You can see that these parallel bands of stuff are not just on one side. They're wrapping around. The whole sun is being, you know, energized to release all these CMEs and flares in increasing numbers, but like they should do 2 or 3 years from now, not what they're doing now. They should do a lot less. I think they're going to revise their solar sunspot prediction curve again. If, you know, in the next year or two, they're going to see that that's not going to work either. Now, there's a place in the atmosphere. It's called the thermosphere, and that's in the outer, very thin air of the planet. And in slide 43, we see an overlay of the plots of this. It was on Space Weather on the 25th of this month. And you'll see that the heating cycle is what they're comparing here for various sunspot number cycles. And you can see there on the right, upper right there you go. Yeah. You can see that it gives the solar cycle. And the pink one is, let's see, where are we here? We're at blue. Okay, we're at blue in the lower left, close to that 500 mark. And we're obviously heading up to where we're going to be, what it was in solar cycle 22, and maybe greater to what was in solar cycle 20. So you can see that when we're supposed to be slowing down, we're not. And this is what I keep warning people about, is that we're going to see drastic, you know, eruptions emissions from the sun. But not only that, we're going to be seeing some exotic waves in the, you know, plasma waves in the surface of the sun that we can visualize going primarily, if you're looking at the pictures of them, from right to left, which is against the rotation of the sun's surface. There are layers, you know, within the sun, and some layers down underneath are flowing, you know, the plasma spin is opposite to what you see on the surface, conserving momentum and balancing it. But they've said here in slide 45, the scientists discovered new solar waves that don't fit with current theories. Well, duh. You've got solar emissions and frequencies that shouldn't be. You know, people are saying, well, this shouldn't happen this way, and it doesn't fit our theories. I've been telling them all along their theories are just, you know, wrong. Said politely. And if you look at the article there, you'll see that they're talking about these waves going against the rotation of the sun on the surface. We're going to see more of that. And that turbulence is going to increase on the surface. And this can break up, in my opinion, this can break up the surface of the sun that we can visualize at the moment. That there's going to be more emissions, more coronal holes, more brilliant flares and CMEs. We're saying it. We saw a couple of them here last week, the week before, where they were going at 2 or 3 million miles from the sun. And these are big flares. They're pointing at us. You know, the EMP shield argument is going to be a valid thing to consider. To address that, we're having so many orders that we're having to put on extra staff to fill, you know, the orders for EMP shields, because suddenly people are realizing we're about to get hit either by the sun or by, you know, the Russians and Chinese. But that's what that article is covering. And, you know, it's worth reading it. It does justify, you know, what I've been saying all along about what gravity is. It's the sum of two waves in the fluid of space. One wave going in toward the sun or the moon or the earth, and then it bounces in the center and comes back out. And so you have a convergent wave and a divergent wave. And when they cross, they form a null zone, which becomes an orbit for a planet, or a shell in this case for the sun. Look at slide 42. You can, if you click on it, this is a quick animation I did to hopefully it comes up. Come on. Okay. Why isn't it coming up? Well, anyway.
Yeah, we're working on it, too.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, there it is. It just takes a while to come up. It's an animation that shows how, like, the rings of Saturn formed, how layers form by spin in the fluid of space. And if you can just get that video up. Yep, okay, I've got it up on mine, so it must be coming.
It's coming.
Oh, yeah, so it's Christmas. anyway, this is, you know, this is in the argument that I'm putting in my second paper, Gemstone Scrolls number 2, about the wave nature of gravity and how gravity is not just a suction, you know, an attraction into a planet or a rock or whatever. Gravity is, it has layers. If you go down close to the center of a gravitational mass, you'll find that gravity reverses and points back up toward the surface. And that the surface is formed by waves, circular waves. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead and play that then. Have you started yet? Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
And so, I'm showing how these two waves form shells, form planet surfaces, and then these disperse into flat rings, and then eventually they go out into nothingness. I'll have to see if I can get that paper finished for people. It makes so much sense that you don't have an unbalanced force, that gravity is a one-directional force. It's actually the sum of two forces, opposite directions, and they form null zones, which become orbits or rings, like in Saturn. If you look down underneath that slide, it's slide 39, right. The long goodbye to Saturn's rings. The rings are losing material every year. The particles suddenly transformed by solar radiation become attuned to Saturn's magnetic field and to the field lines, and these particles start spiraling along these invisible paths into the surface of Saturn. And gravity pulls them in, and they vaporize in the planet's clouds. Astronomers, are calling this ring rain. And what's happening is the rings are dissolving for various, you know, reasons of physics, and they are falling into the surface of Saturn and eventually will disappear. And these rings are like the in the video or animation I just showed you, the blue parts of that animation as things flatten out. And, you know, you can no longer sustain an orbit. Then the particles that are in that orbit fall into the surface of Saturn, and eventually Saturn itself will increase in diameter like the Earth is doing, and Mars, all of them. And until the point that it just dissolves, breaks apart, and is gone, is no more. That's a ways down the line, at least probably 1,000, 10,000, 20 years from now.
You know, in the scheme of things, all of this makes sense. It does. It makes sense to me. So very good. And you've got a way of explaining things that make it easy for non-scientists like me to understand that and gravity. So it's,
you just have to be able to wave your hands like this.
Yeah.
You know?
People think, they think you know what you're talking about when you do that, right?
Wait, Holly's got a comment here.
Doug, I know precisely what you're talking about. That never makes anybody feel like an idiot. You can just explain stuff when I don't have to be, you know, clueless.
I know.
Does a great job on that.
All right, guys.
That's why you guys paid the big bucks. But
That's it. Where did the big bucks get placed in? I don't know what account that's in.
Checks in the mail, brother. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, in slide 38, you can go to, you can click on the slide and see the animation that just occurred on the sun here earlier today. The activity on the sun, there have been sunspots that have exploded 17 times and produced 11 C-class flares and 6 M-class, X being the highest class of flare you can have. And these eruptions have hurled at least 2, possibly 3 CMEs toward Earth. Now, this is today. And you can click in the text and you can get to the article on space weather, and then you can click on the thing and see the animation of it, or, you know, what the satellite shot. And this is what we're seeing. It's more active than I'd even was telling you earlier in the show. This came in late this afternoon, and I put it in for the evening show here to show you that what I was talking about is happening.
Wow. Wow.
Huge. I mean, 17 times explosions there, you know, in that one class, that AR-2975 active region. 11 C-class flares, six M-class flares. I mean, and as I say, X is the uttermost, you know, duck and cover. But anyway, that's...
Wow. All right.
Am I out of time yet?
Yeah, we're out of time, brother. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
I appreciate you. Holly, I appreciate you as well. And God bless both of you. Thank you for a great show. A lot of information.
Standale.com. God bless you and Eric too.
All right.
You take care now.
Standale.com, folks. Support Stan by way of Patreon, EMP Shield as well. Promo code Hagman. Have a good night.